Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go! Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five silly guys, diversified and educated.
What's the deal, War Room family? It's Thursday, and of course, you are once again live in the War Room. I'm your host, Devin McMillan, and alongside me is Paul Johnson, James Williams, Akil Bayon, and B. Austin. Tonight, we're going to talk some NHL All-Star Game with New York Rangers beat writer Andrew Gross. We're going to talk about the week in the NBA and the latest in the Carmelo situation. And yes, we're going to dive deep into the NFL Championship weekend and get you set for the upcoming Super Bowl shows. We actually have two Super Bowl shows coming up, one next Thursday, and then we're going to have a pregame show on Super Bowl Sunday. So later in hour two, we're going to break out our favorite segment, Best Ever, and debate the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight, so when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, call in and holler at us. That number is 323-410-0012. But y'all know what time it is now. It's birthday time.
My birthday, yay!
What's up tonight,
fellas? Yo, what's up? Y'all ready to jump right into it?
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
All right. First birthday I got is one Anthony Chris Collinsworth, who turns 52. Now, going around the room, Dev, when you hear Anthony Chris Collinsworth, what do you think of?
A long neck wide receiver. It's like, nah. Chris Collinsworth? A lot of people don't like him on the broadcast, but I actually think Chris Collinsworth is the best broadcaster out there. Bold word.
Yo, I happen to agree with you on that. PJ, what's your thoughts on the ball?
No, I honestly think he's a good commentator, but when I think of his career, I think of a rare sighting of a Caucasian receiver, but due to the infiltration of chicken into the kitchens and the hoods in America, they've created man beasts that have kind of dominated the position, and he's become extinct.
B. Austin, what you got on Chris Collinsworth?
I think Chris Collinsworth, I think of self-deprecation because dude is always discounting his accomplishments and whatever he's done on the football field in lieu of today's stars. So I think it's self-deprecation.
Yeah, he definitely does that. And he wasn't a bad player. He was nice. Dr. Bayon, what you got on Chris Collinsworth?
Man, the first thing I think of is, yo, he's a great commentator. And, like, if you listen to him, unless you looked up his stats, you wouldn't know that, you know, he was a second-round pick, three-time Pro Bowler, went for 1,000 yards four times, three-time second-team All-Pro, and a first-team All-Pro in 83. So, I mean, you know, he did his thing in the field.
Yo, Dr. Bayon be bringing his stats, yo. He be bringing them. Yo, Yo, shout out to Chris Collinsworth. Happy birthday. The next one, my man Bob Uecker. He turned 75. So, PJ, what you got on Bob Uecker?
Only thing I think about with Bob is must be in the front row. That's all I think about is his traditional tagline, because I'm a bit too – I know he played in the majors, but I'm a bit too young to be any way familiar with his body of work.
I heard that. Dev, what you got on Bob Uecker?
Bob Uecker makes me think of my favorite baseball movie of all time.
Just a bit outside. I knew that was coming. Yeah. Shout out to Bob Uecker. Dr. Bayon, what you got on Bob Uecker?
Yo, only thing I remember about Bob Uecker was playing in Mr. Belvedere in the 1980s.
Harold.
He was George Owen from Mr. Belvedere.
Yo, I ain't know Bob Uecker.
Forgot about that.
Over there.
Yep, I remember that.
That definitely was him. Yo, I forgot about that. B. Austin, what you got?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know who that is. Yeah. I don't know that boy.
Wait, man, crush you for that.
Way to keep it funky though. Look, it is what it is, yo.
Shout out to Bob Uecker, happy birthday. The next birthday we have is the great one, Mr. Wayne Gretzky turns 50.
Yeah.
Yo.
Birthday, yay!
B. Austin, I'm going to go right back to you. Wayne Gretzky, what you know about him?
Yo, I don't really be knowing enough about hockey, but Wayne Gretzky was my man. He was nice.
He said he don't know about hockey, but that's his man. How's that possible? Yo, anyway, let me go. Dr. Bayon, what you got on the great one?
Yo, he was a beast on the ice, man. I mean, arguably the greatest, probably the greatest hockey player ever.
Yeah, shout out to him, yo. I think of Cam Brown, he'd be like, "That Gretzky, I'm talking about ice." Yo, anyway, PJ, what you got on Wayne Gretzky, yo?
Bah, bah, bah. That's my goat noise.
And
yo, the
important like
nickname
goat?
Is the great one.
You
know
what
I mean? Like, yo, we don't get no better than that. Dad,
yeah,
what you got to say about Wayne Gretzky, yo?
You just said it, man. The great one. Enough said, man. The greatest.
Yo, how that's going to be your nickname, yo? That's gangster, yo. Anyway, those are the birthdays this week, yo. Dad, tell us what happened when everybody was on the grind.
All right, everybody.
We're going to let y'all know what happened today and earlier this week while y'all were on the grind. This first one, we don't even have to discuss this. I just wanted to put it out there. If everybody didn't hear, Tiger Woods has now dropped to the number 3 player in the world. It's crazy how you can stay in the top 3 and you haven't won a major in how long. But a second story, we want to talk about Jimmer Fredette drops 43 last night as BYU smashes number 4 ranked San Diego State University. Now, Jimmer, his name is whack, sound like something from Hoosiers, but dude got game, man. So this is my question to you fellas. You think with Jimmer, BYU can be this year's Butler, Jimmy?
I don't know about being this year's Butler because Butler has some athletic monkeys on their front line. But at the same time, this is college ball, and if one player gets hot, then that may be all you need. And he was cracking cats last night, so I wouldn't put nothing by him because that man got major game.
Especially if that man is a guard, because you know college basketball is real guard dominated.
It's guard dominated, yeah.
B. Austin, Jimmer Fredette.
I go to basketball games to see greatness. And at the collegiate level, we are witnessing greatness. Ain't nobody had a green light like that since AI was in school. Jimmer, nice. 42% from three. 42% from three. Like 48% from the field. And he will wind you up.
Yeah. PJ, you do play?
AI owe him a check, fam. AI owe B off the check.
Yeah, I had. Yo, he's nice, like you said. The thing about him is he's put, and the crazy part about it is he's dropping 40-point games. I mean, not every game, but, I mean, pretty frequently. And the thing about him is he's a guard. So, like Dev said, most of the tournament is dominated by guard play, especially in college. And if he gets hot, you know, who knows? He may be able to lead his team to an upset if he gets hot in the right part of the game. Because when he is on, homie's nice. Everywhere on the court.
Akil, tell us, like, give us a scouting report on the dude, man.
Yeah, Jimmer Fredette, he's 6'2", 190, can go right, can go left. You can't crowd him. Like, normally with shooters, you can crowd him and say, okay, we're just going to bump him off the line and force him to drive. But his handle is so sick. Like, when I watch him play, I think I start seeing visions of old Pete Maravich. Now, he's not fancy like Maravich, but dudes will try to, you know, lock him down, and he's giving them in and out, right to left, behind the back, between, oh, let me pull up right in your face, and, like, doing it with flair. I'm like, yo, I want to see what he does in the NBA. Now, some people will say, nah, he's not going to make it, but his skill set, I think he's better than Luke Rittenhour. You know what I mean?
Yo. I think he's similar to
Now, if AI owed me a check, Luke Rittenhour owed Dr. Bayon a steal to the face because he always takes on Luke.
I don't see why Luke is in the league. I agree with Bayon. But, yeah, Jimmer, he could be like a Stephon Curry type. So we're going to move on to Bengaland. Listen, Carson Palmer earlier this week threatened to retire before playing another down with the Bengals, and your man Chad Ochocinco is now changing his name back to Chad Johnson. B. Austin, weigh in on Bengaland, man.
Man, his mama named him Clay. I'm calling him. Chad's trying to recapture something. I mean, he better do it. Age, father time is ticking. Carson's acting like a kid. Get your elbow right, fam. Go out in the desert, pray to Allah, and throw the football around. Get yourself right.
What?
That's all I can say.
Yo, Brad is hilarious. But honestly, I don't know, man. I think Carson, he had a bad season. He's not a bad quarterback. He's actually a decent quarterback. And honestly, in terms of the free agent quarterbacks coming up this season, he'd probably be one of the more sought-after ones. But I don't know. Like, yeah, I know. That's why I don't know. You McNabb might be out there. It's like, no. Really? But I'd take Carson over McNabb any day. But anyway, yeah. I don't know what's going on with Bengaland. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess he wants to get out because they really haven't done but so much. But I don't know, man. But here's the thing, real quick. Paul Brown is probably not going to let him out. Like, he doesn't just let people out of Cincinnati unless he wants them to be out. Like, he's like a... Yeah, let's say dead or he's just sick of it because he does not care about what you want.
So he ain't even let Icky Woods. He ain't let Icky Woods leave the state. Icky Woods still works for the
Bengals. Keep dancing.
So basically, y'all think Paul Brown is going to end up calling his bluff to see if he's tired or not. What you got on that, Jim?
Yep.
Yo, I think he already did. And I think it's funny the amount of attention his team gets considering they're losers. And they'll never win until Paul Brown, like, steps off, like, a little bit. Dude be drawing. Like, yo, nobody wants to play for you. Your coach threatened you, and he only stayed because he wasn't getting the job nowhere else. Like, yo, they got a lot of issues over there, yo. And it all starts at the top with him.
But Chad, he forces himself into the news. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Name in the first place. Now it's
yo, but you know what's crazy, though? Like,
now he back in my family.
Yo, with Chad, right? Chad been nice for a number of years, but until he started putting himself in the news like that, he never got any kind of acclaim or even notice, for that matter. He made himself relevant.
Right. Kill, you got anything on this?
The thing is, history repeats itself, they say. But if they know, the owner, Mike Brown, did not let Corey Dillon leave until his contract was up. Chad Johnson tried to leave, tried to get a trade. He did not trade him. He's still under contract. So what does Carson Palmer think, you know, he's going to do to get Mike Brown to trade him if, okay, he just doesn't trade you. He's just going to keep you there. So, you know.
Boston Reynolds slick, man. But, look, moving on. Michael Vick signs a 2-year deal with Unequal Technology. This is his first endorsement since his release from prison.
Errol.
This company, that's what I said when I heard it, but this company makes athletic equipment, including the protective vest that Vick wore during the season. So, is this a sign that, you know, he's all the way back, or is this company not relevant enough for us to even start to think that?
Well, I think the sad thing is everybody was probably like, you know, what company is that? But on the positive note, the fact that, I mean, a company is going out there and saying, hey, you know what, let's give this guy a chance, let's sign him to a deal. I think it's a positive step that shows that, you know, his road to redemption is going in right way.
My question is, though, what's the market out there for, like, you know, how many flak jackets is he going to hawk?
But the Shard Choice ordered his joint, yo.
You got football. You got football. Football players, maybe high school players and everything. Most of their equipment is given to them by the team.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure if you wanted to wear a flak jacket, unless you're a team superstar and they're trying to protect your ribs, you would have to buy it on your own. So, but I can't see, you know, flak jackets being a huge market in America. PJ, what you think?
Yeah, I agree, but at the same time, I guess in terms of Michael Vick, he can't really turn down an endorsement to, like, you know, Moy Fong or Kennedy Fried Chicken if they wanted to. But he need money as bad as he can get it. So I don't know who was buying that. I've never even heard of him, but I'm like, hey, I guess he can't turn it down. You know what I mean?
Call his reps. We need to call his reps. Be awesome. Put that call out there. What you got on it?
The War Room is willing to sponsor Michael Vick.
We got to find a rate. This is real.
Pull together.
Based on what we know about his financial situation, never mind. I ain't say nothing, man. I wish him the best. I'm hoping that Nike come with that shake and getting right, because everybody loves a redemption story. So
all right, let me move on to this one. This one.
Yeah,
gotta read
Dev,
a couple quotes.
Let me say one thing about that. How many of y'all have Googled that company since they signed him? So, you know, it all worked out. And they do sell other things for your feet and whatnot. So, they, you know, we'll see. To share our choice,
you,
he got his weight up.
They're going to get their Google Analytics up for the week. But
exactly. Go ahead. You can move on,
I know
though.
A couple people who might buy a flak jacket and wear it to the club, but I ain't going to say no names.
So
earlier in the week, Antonio Cromartie, he bashed the union and the league for the way the negotiations were going down for the new CBA, saying that he's tired of everybody bitching about money. So on Wednesday, Ray Lewis and Darnell Dockett, you know, two veterans in the league, called him out for those comments and saying, you know, we're standing behind the players' union. You know, forget what that dude said. So later that same night, Cromartie tweeted, I don't give a who about Ray Lewis or Darnell Dockett talking about what I said. So Thursday, Matt Hasselbeck tweeted, somebody asked Cromartie if he knows what CBA stands for. This tweet was subsequently deleted, of course, because, you know, everybody takes back their comments these days. But y'all know Cromartie found out about it before it was deleted or after it was deleted, whatever. So he responded Thursday afternoon, well, today, you know, this afternoon with a tweet that said, hey, Matt, if you have something to say, then say it. Be a man about it. Don't erase it. I will smash your face in. Yo. So then Hasselbeck tweeted back, sorry for the joke, man. No hard feelings. DBs and QBs have a hard time getting along, I guess, sometimes. LOL. Jimmy. Didn't I tell you to keep these idiots off of Twitter, man?
Yes, you did. But I'm going to keep it way funky, yo. I respect Cromartie for the simple fact that he didn't back down from what he said, unlike that princess boy Maurice Jones-Drew. But I actually was on Twitter, and I was looking at this exchange, and I'm dying, like, because Cromartie didn't back down from nobody. He even told Uncle Ray, like, yo, who cares what you say? So my thing is, at least he stands behind his word. Some of these cowards put out stuff, LeBron, and, you know, they take it back, or they didn't say it, their brother did. Yeah, I mean, shout out to T.O. But the thing is, at least he stands by what he says.
Yo, but your man 9 for 8 is complaining because – he got a lot of kids to feed, so he need all of this to just go away.
Yeah, he need all this.
He got kids to feed.
He got 9 kids by 8 women. So if he comes out saying, you know, we need this thing to be over with, we all know why. Kill, I know.
In the words of Biggie Smalls.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Please, I got kids to feed.
Shout out to Travis Henry.
Your first time hearing about this. What's your thoughts on this situation?
Yo, it sounds like Cromartie was interested. Last week, I was listening to another outlet, and the guy who actually worked in San Diego on the radio, he was like, somebody here in Dallas asked him, said, hey, what's Cromartie like? And then the guy was like, man, you know what? Man, he's one of the best athletes I've ever seen, but he's just not a bright guy. You know, he's actually pretty stupid, but he's one of the best athletes I've ever seen. So,
shout out to my man Fab, because him and Cromartie look just alike, yo.
But yo, that's what I got.
That's my...
Yo, Brad.
Across between Cromartie and Jamal Crawford.
Yeah.
Yo.
Brad, you got anything on this whole Twitter exchange before we move on to the next one?
Being as though I'm an Uncle Ray Lewis protectionist, I'm trying to see the ball. Because he is
that's
stupid.
Cool. But that's what happened, everybody, while y'all were on the grind. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Yo, it's time to pass that rock. For those of you who don't know what Pass the Rock is, that's on you, because you should be listening every week. But with that being said, I'm gonna start off this whole Pass the Rock I'm going to do exactly that and tell you why I'm at. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. Jim Duncan, a.k.a. the King of Sports Blogging. And if you don't agree, swallow pesticide. Anyway, I just want to talk about the whole Jay Cutler controversy. Mr. Cutler, or as he will be known from now on as Jay Ramon Cutler, you, sir, are a pipsqueak. Now, I'm not going to say you are not in pain or bring up other players like Ronnie Lott cutting off a piece of his finger to get back in the game, or Phillip Rivers playing 6 quarters with a torn ACL,
or Leftwich having a broken shin and having his lineman carry him instead of not playing, or even Tom Brady playing with a stress fracture in his foot all year. Notice how I just brought them up. Anyway, I personally don't know your pain tolerance, but I do know you appeared to mentally check out of Sunday's game. After leaving the game, you look like your mom was on your second job at Vandalay Industries and you could care less about the NFC Championship game. Initially, I heard you had an MCL sprain, and then after it seemed as though the whole world called you a quitter, it became a tear. Like my man PJ said, by next week you will have a disease in your leg and need an amputation. Now, this isn't the first time that I've seen you mentally check out of a game. I've seen you do it in college. I've seen you do it in Denver. And my co-host Dev can attest to how I've always called you a fraud and thought you were a horrible quarterback. You have all the physical abilities, but it appears you think you are better than you are and you don't have what it takes mentally to be elite. You're becoming wasted talent. And just like Collegiate's Pop Lorenzo told him in Bronx Tale, the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Shout out to Robert De Niro. Anyone who doesn't think you quit is either delusional, or they're just a Bears fan, or they have a low football IQ. You embarrassed your family, your team, President and Michelle Obama, Oprah, Kanye West, Common, Michael Jordan, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, the Vice Lord, the Gangster Disciple, Al Capone, Larry Hoover, Mike Dicker, Walter Payton, Jim Belushi, Mayor Daley, or anyone else associated with the city of Chicago. The fact that you are a complete jerk made your peers think it was cool to talk pork chop greasy about you. That means you're not only are you a subpar quarterback, but you're a jerk as a person. Hopefully, you will rebound from all this and decide to work at becoming an elite quarterback. If that doesn't make you stronger, you always have your job at Vandalay Industries to fall back on. I'm nice. And with that, I go around the back and pass the rock off to Dr. Bayon.
Oh, man. Yeah, that whole Jay Cutler fiasco has been crazy this week. Yeah, he's walking up and down the sideline on a bike, but he couldn't play. Now, good evening, War Room family. My topic has to do with the Super Bowl this year being held in Arlington, Texas at the Cowboys Stadium. Now, you have all heard me talk about how the owner of my Dallas Cowboys, Jerrell Jones, a.k.a. Jerry Jones, has allowed his ego to get in the way of building a winning team. But you never once heard me say that he wasn't great at marketing the team and making a profit off the field. Some of you may or may not have heard that Jerry has decided to go for the Super Bowl attendance record by offering $200 tickets for people to stand outside and look at the big screen, bringing the attendance total to 105,000 people. Now, FYI, those tickets have been sold out. Now, the nightly temperatures in Dallas have been between 25 and 40 degrees recently, so unless it gets warmer in 10 days, you're going to have some cold people standing outside. Oh, by the way, they're giving out Super Bowl scarves for the cold people, and they're going to be freezing off their gluteus maximi. Now, as a businessman, Jerry, that is a great way to take advantage of the strong desire and will of people to say, I was at the Super Bowl, outside the Super Bowl, and make a profit off of it. Now, to the people purchasing these tickets, why would you pay $200 to stand outside the Super Bowl in the cold and pay $100 or more for parking? Some people are even paying $1,000 for parking and buying multiple, you aren't allowed in here, but you can stand outside the stadium tickets. You could add some money to that and get a flat screen to watch the game on, or if you are that big of a sports enthusiast, you can get good seats to 3 or 4 Dallas Mavericks, Dallas Stars, or Texas Rangers games, which would include parking and food, or go inside the stadium to a real Cowboy game or two next year. Or better yet, save the money, put it in the bank. Now, I wonder how many people are going to be standing outside but fronting on Facebook and Twitter saying, yeah, I'm at the Super Bowl, look at my picture, or that they went to the Super Bowl but they were really standing outside watching the Super Bowl on TV. Now, I can drive to the Cowboys Stadium and see the screen from my car, pay $0, and have a similar view. Come on, son. We have to do better, people. And with that, I throw a round the back, left-hand pass to Brad Anderson, a.k.a. the Hot Block Commander.
ladies and gentlemen of the War Room world. I'm going to be brief this evening, and I'm going to address the Twitter universe, the Twitterverse. Ramon James tweeted, and I'll paraphrase, "Cleveland, karma's a witch. Look at you now." He later came on and said that he was retweeting somebody else's thought, and it had nothing to do with Cleveland. Funds on hold. Next, we have Princess Boy MJB. Sounds like a good beer, but it's actually a bitter beer because he's sitting at home. Essentially telling us that Jay Young Purple Hands Cutler is a bum and a liar and is fronting and really isn't injured. Now, whether he is or he isn't, if that's how you feel, fam, that's how you feel. It's all good. We're all men here. Throw it out there. But what comes? A retraction. Latest victim of the retraction world, Cromartie's idiocy got called out on Twitter by a smart, bald-head guy that looks like he sells BMWs, but he really plays quarterback for the Seattle Sea Chickens. Matt Hasselbeck says, "I'm sorry, LOL. QBs and DBs have so much hatred spewed our way. We all need to just hug and love and be friends. I'm sorry, Mr. Cromartie." Funds on hold yet again. Oh, and for those of you who don't know what funds on hold are, we'll have the War Room Dictionary up shortly. I guess my beef with all of this is Twitter is really like being able to yell out exactly how you feel to any number of people foolish enough to follow you. It's like having a group in a group of people in your room. So why are all these people so scared of public opinion trouncing them because they express themselves? I don't know. I'm getting my Andy Rooney on right now. So in closing, I guess I would say, hey, you twiggers, all of you twiggers, don't be contemplating my Twitters. With that, I pass the rock. To my right, Paul Johnson, take that pass.
Yo, I'm just waiting for Twitter to get someone either severely beaten and stomped 1992 style, or fired or kicked off of a team. But I see the double team coming.
Hey, PJ, that happened to Pac-Man. Pac-Man tweeted and got kicked off his CFL team.
CFL team? Wow.
Yeah, he tweeted like, "Yeah, I'm just doing this for a minute till I get back in the NFL," and then they reneged his contract.
Crazy. But with that, man, I see the double team coming. My left hand is in a sling. I can't really dribble, so I'm gonna throw a no look to my man Dev cutting on the baseline.
All right. Yeah, that whole Twitter stuff is getting out of hand. And Jimmy, after we do that media blast, you can break that breaking news that you just got. But I just want to give kudos to the NHL for their outside-the-box thinking in regards to the format of this weekend's NHL All-Star game. This isn't the first time they've tweaked the format of their All-Star exhibition game. The NBA, NFL, and especially Major League Baseball should all take note. Though it is my opinion that the NFL has the worst All-Star game in professional sports, I singled out Major League Baseball because they totally dropped the ball when they made the results of an exhibition game the determinant for home field advantage in the most important set of games in the whole sport. Over the years, the NHL has experimented with several different formats such as East versus West, USA versus the world, etc. This year's format may be the most interesting one yet from a fan's perspective, and most of the excitement will take place before the puck is ever dropped. The fans have voted in 6 starters, 3 forwards, 2 defensemen, 1 goalie from both conferences. The NHL then selected another 36 All-Stars, which gives each team 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, and 3 goalies when the teams are eventually set. That pool of 42 players then nominated 6 of their peers to serve as captains for the 2 teams, 1 captain and 2 alternates for each team. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., a televised fantasy draft will be held on the NHL Network, where the captains of each team will select their respective rosters with the order determined by a coin toss. Then on Sunday, January 30th, the selected teams will go ahead and do battle. I personally think this is a great format for an All-Star exhibition. Can you imagine if the NBA had a pickup All-Star game? Can you imagine the NFL Pro Bowl? Well, never mind. I don't know what it takes for me to ever be interested in the Pro Bowl again. But, however, my advice to the other professional leagues is to take notes and remember, in the words of my homie Duke from Rocky IV,
what are you guys doing? This is supposed to be an exhibition. You understand? That's an exhibition.
And with that, I catch the rock cutting baseline and double clutch rock the cradle East Bay funk reverse Godzilla dunk and then come down, look at the opposing bench, and grab my gonads. And the crowd go wow. Hey, Jimmy, what's your breaking news real quick before we, you know, we're going to get back into the NHL because we have our guest on the line. So, what's that?
No doubt, no doubt. Actually, I just heard about it and I looked it up. Shout out to the imaginary players for telling us that Jeff Fisher has parted ways with the Tennessee Titans. So they got rid of their elite quarterback, Vince Young, and Jeff Fisher's out as well. So, you know, new Tennessee.
Wow.
It's going to be a new whole new regime over there.
Elite who? Elite quarterback who? Vince is an elite.
That's what Vince said.
That's
all
what
right,
he
look.
Said. Don't get mad at me. He said that. He's an elite quarterback, so he can say
you guys
he's in the secret.
You guys
he's
can check out our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/WarRoomSports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel, WarRoomSportsTV.com. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@WarRoomSports.com. You can join the JW Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/TheWarRoom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Exchange Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted, pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and we'll probably get to you, and you can get whatever you need to get off your chest, off your chest. But we're going to just move on real quick. Like I said, we got our guest on the line. We're going to get back into the NHL All-Star Weekend a little bit. So we have a special guest lined up. He's a beat writer for the New York Rangers. He covers them for The Record in North Jersey. So we want to bring on to the air for the first time Mr. Andrew Gross.
Hey, Devin.
Hey.
Andrew.
Andrew,
how's it going,
you?
Man?
How
good,
you guys
good.
Doing?
We're awesome here. Fabulous.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for coming on. It was – I didn't tell the fellas, actually. It was interesting the way that I met Andrew. He was actually – when I was in Minnesota covering the basketball game and was supposed to be covering the Vikings-Packers game, we both were on the same flight coming back, and he was there to cover Wild and the Rangers.
Yeah, and, getting out of that crazy ice storm they had out there.
Right, and the interesting thing, I can tell everybody now, Andrew, he was the only person who knew that my wife was pregnant. Because
yeah.
I couldn't tell anybody at the time.
I didn't know whether to bring that up or not.
Nobody knew at the time, but I was figuring, okay, I can tell a stranger because I was just that excited. And then, a few months later, now he's on the show. So thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, and I hope things are good with you and your wife. And like I said, kids are great. I got two daughters of my own, and I just think it's the best thing in the world.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, we'll get right into it. Actually, I'll ask you about your Rangers real quick. At the break, when I checked yesterday, they were currently sitting in sixth place in the Eastern Conference with 61 points. Now, do you think the Rangers can finish strong and actually contend for a Stanley Cup this year?
I don't know if they have the overall talent to make a four-round run in the Stanley Cup. I mean, but this team is miles ahead of where they were last season when they didn't make the playoffs. And I certainly think this is a team that could sneak out a first-round victory. The great thing about watching the Rangers this season is they're never out of it because, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but they really do have a never-say-die attitude that has been missing from this franchise. You know, literally for, you know, going on 10, 12, 13 years, I mean, there has not been a hard-working group like this in a Rangers jersey, you know, almost, you know, 97, you know, maybe even going back to the Cup years, you know, the Cup year in 94. It's just a really hard-working group. Unfortunately, the other part of that is they're such a hard-working group and they take such pride in blocking shots that about half the team is hurt right now. So, but they're getting some players back after the All-Star break. So, I don't think making the playoffs, should be an issue for this team.
Cool. I mean, well, stranger things have happened. You know, the last 2 years, lower seeds have actually made runs in the postseason. So you never know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the Flyers are the best example of that. The difference is that the Flyers went in as a really good team that just struggled through the regular season. And
right.
With Coach Peter Laviolette, you know, they finally gelled in the playoffs, and they had that, you know, some really good talent there. The Rangers,
yeah, hit a broad street.
Yeah. The Rangers are what they are. They're just a hardworking crew, and unless they make a major trade, which I can't really see them doing just because they're so committed to developing the young kids they have on their roster. This is the talent they have, and it's not deep enough right now, I think, to be a true Stanley Cup contender.
Right. Andrew, how you doing? This is Paul.
Hey, Paul,
had a quick
how's it
question.
Going?
Good. Glad to have you on. I had a quick question in regards to this weekend's upcoming All-Star game. It seems that the NFL really isn't afraid to tweak the All-Star game format over the years. It seems like we've seen that. And we're excited, really, about tomorrow's fantasy draft. Like, what are your thoughts on this weekend's format? Do you think it's good for the league?
I think it's great because, you know, the NHL really is a league. You know, if you of the four, you know, quote-unquote major sports, and, you know, I know all the soccer aficionados will drive me into the ground for that, but if you consider baseball, football, basketball, hockey is considerably far down on the list in terms of where, you know, it's niche within the public eye. And anything
right.
they can do to kind of draw attention to themselves is great. You know, The NHL is just great at stumbling upon ideas that just seem to work really well. You know, the Winter Classic being probably one of the greatest, you know, sporting events now, and it's hard to remember that, you know, 5 years ago there was nothing like this, and it wasn't even the NHL's idea. It was, you know, the Edmonton Oilers and the Montreal Canadiens in 2003 decided to do an outdoor game on their own, and, you know, a few years later, the NHL said, wait, what was that? That might have been good, you know?
Right.
So I think this fantasy draft and the way it came about was Brendan Shanahan, who played for the Rangers, played for the Devils, you know, played for the Blues, had a very for the Detroit Red Wings for a very long time, had a great NHL career, finally retired, and has moved into being an NHL executive, you know, basically in charge of good ideas. And he came up with this, with this idea that to gain interest in the NHL All-Star game, why not do it as a fantasy draft? Because after all, I mean, you know, this is what we talk about, you know, when you and I go into our fantasy drafts, this is, you know, for football or for whatever, this is, you know, this is what we do, and it's just brilliant because it connects with the public in such a personal way. And really, you know, going around the league the last 2-3 weeks, once all the All-Stars were named, this is all they were talking about, you know, who's going to get picked by who. And it's just,
right.
it's a fun idea. And
right.
it turns the NHL All-Star game just into a fun event, and that's really all you want, because it really is for the fans. And I think, like you said in the intro, the other sports have just really forgotten about that. You know, it just, mm-hmm. this is a fun exhibition game, and that's how the NHL is treating it.
Yeah, Andrew, this is Jimmy. I have a question for you. The leading vote getter, Sidney Crosby, he's been out since like January 5th with a concussion, and it was just announced that he won't be attending the All-Star game. So I just want to know, in your opinion, how much do you think the festivities will suffer, considering he's one of the league's brightest stars?
I think a little bit, you know, and certainly I'm sure NBC is crying, you know, because he's not going to be there, because unfortunately, I think NBC thinks there are only two hockey players, one named Sidney Crosby and one named Alex Ovechkin, you know. So I'm sure that, you know, their promos and their marketing people are scrambling. But you know what? For the overall scheme of things, there are so – if you're a hockey fan, there are so many good players there. You know, Steven Stamkos from the Tampa Bay Lightning, there is even now some debate. Who do you take first, Steven Stamkos or Alex Ovechkin? And, you know, that would have been unthinkable at the beginning of the season, you know. So I think there's enough – if you like hockey, there's enough people there that if Sidney Crosby's not there, you can get by. Obviously, Sidney Crosby's the one that everyone knows, but there's not going to be a shortage of great hockey talent there. I don't think it takes away from the game, you know, in a major way.
Yeah. Okay, just wondering. Kill, you got a question? Hey, Kill, I know Kill had a question.
Yeah. Oh, I'll ask it. This is Devin again. We're assuming that Eric Staal was named captain because he represents the host team, the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, but we could be wrong. But was there any specific process behind naming Staal and Nicholas Lindstrom of the Red Wings captains of the fantasy draft?
Well, I mean, it was voted upon by the All-Stars. You know, it was kind of a secret ballot, and all the players, you know, all the All-Stars decided who the captain should be. Now, I agree with you. I think, you know, the players recognized that Staal should be captain because the game was in Carolina. So I think that was a gimme. And not to say that Eric hasn't earned it, because if you look at the way he plays, I mean, he's, you know, he's such an MVP player for that franchise. You know, he doesn't – not a lot of players, you know, in the major markets, not a lot of people see Eric Staal all the time, you know, playing in Carolina. But he's a monster as a hockey player. He's just a fabulous player to watch, and he has so much respect around the league. So that was a gimme for the other players to vote upon. And as far as Nicholas Lidstrom, you know, he's just – a classy individual who's been at the top of his game for so much longer than maybe you would have expected. What is he, 39 or 40 right now? And he's still a Norris Trophy candidate for being the best defenseman. He's the captain of the Red Wings, who are kind of, you know, one of those face of the NHL type franchises. And I just think the other players are just showing a lot of respect for one of, you know, a true Hall of Fame player. So I think both captains were kind of gimmies there.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying earlier, like we. You know, we all talk about it, and we do kind of respect the NHL for its outside-the-box thinking on the All-Star format, the Winter Classic, and things like that. And, you know, hopefully they get back to the popularity levels that they used to have. But, Andrew, we thank you. It was great having you on. You want to tell the audience where they can find your writing?
They can find me. It's the record, the Bergen Record in North Jersey. It's online at www.northjersey.com/sports. You can find a link to my blog, Ranger Rants, on northjersey.com/sports. And also follow me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at A Gross Record. You know, anyone who wants to join the party, I'm out there.
Okay, and we also have a link to his blog on our website, everybody. So if you go to our website and click on the ad, it'll get you right to Ranger Rants.
Andrew, real quick, sorry about that. This is Akil. I was on mute when I was about to ask you a question, but I had another question. With the Nets talking about moving to Brooklyn and their colors being kind of like red and blue, similar to the Rangers, and then the Islanders' colors being similar to the Knicks, you think they'll be able to have, get some more, I guess, notoriety and fans with the red and blue, then you have the blue and the orange?
Well, I don't know what the Islanders can do to gain more. You know, they have to start really winning first. But yeah, you know what? Everyone in the city, it's going to be real interesting when the Nets move to Brooklyn. I see the Jersey's Governor Christie, has already talked to David Stern just casually about possibly doing like the NHL and getting a third franchise for the metropolitan area, you know, getting another team to replace the Nets in Newark when the Nets move to Brooklyn. Now, I don't see that happening because, you know, the Nets struggle with attendance. But, you know, if they can show that the NHL can support three franchises, why not three franchises here, I guess?
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Andrew. Like I said again, thanks for coming on. Anytime you got the time, we can talk some hockey with you.
Yeah, you shout at me and I'm around. And listen, Devin, like I said, good luck with everything, and I hope to catch you on the flight again soon.
All right, thank you, Andrew Grove,
thank
everybody.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to talk some hoops?
Let's talk some hoops.
You know it.
Okay. Yo, let's start off by talking about the NBA players of the week. And those players were Dwight Howard and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes,
Dev, what you got on the players of the week?
All right. Howard led Orlando to a 3-1 record. He averaged 26 points, 13.3 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks. He had three games of at least 20 and 10. Aldridge, he averaged 28.3 and 10.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists. The Blazers went 4-0 during that streak. Like y'all said last week, LaMarcus Aldridge is balling.
Yes, sir. PJ, what's your thoughts on these young gentlemen?
Well, you know, three heads, pause. Dwight Howard is always going to be – you know, I think he's always going to put up numbers. He's obviously not going to be the player of the week every week. But, I mean, I'm not surprised by his numbers. LaMarcus, like, you know, Dev mentioned that we talked about last week, he's balling, man. I mean, we all talked about the plight of the Portland Trailblazers' health. But through it all, he's been balling. And it looks like his game has improved slightly, or he's just, you know, taking advantage of some of the skills he's already had.
You know what he's doing, PJ?
Yeah.
He's getting his He's trying to get his money up before the Portland curse hits him. So he got to hurry
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. B. Austin, what you got?
Y'all saying LaMarcus balling for a nice little young contract?
Or cheap.
LaMarcus, I didn't know. He was kind of nondescript to me coming into the league and his body of work up until this point. I didn't realize that he had that much under the hood. He definitely got range. He's got that Euro big man kind of game where he can face you up all the way out to the three-point line pretty quick for his size off the dribble. We'll see whether he can keep this up consistently over the next season, two seasons, three seasons, five seasons, and he's really transitioning into a player that you have to account for, a star. Three heads is three heads, man. And he's improving. It looks like he went to see the Wizard out in Houston, the good brother Hakeem.
Yeah, Hakeem Olajuwon. Dr. Bayon, what you got on these young gentlemen?
So, with Aldridge, man, it's like his game has evolved. And I feel bad that, not so bad, but as a Bulls fan, we had a chance to take Aldridge, and we took Tyrus Thomas instead. And I'm like, I thought it was a mistake, and even though Tyrus was more athletic. But Aldridge has more games. But, he has more games. Howard, he's rocking. I mean, that's all you could say. He put in the work in the summertime, and it's paying off.
Yeah, no doubt. Just want to mention one quick thing. Wanted to talk about it. That's Coach Pop, Greg Popovich, is going to coach the Western All-Stars. And they'll be announcing who's going to be in that All-Star joint tonight on TNT. But anyway, I want to talk about this. Donnie Walsh doesn't want to break up his team to trade for Melo. And everybody knows that Melo wants to go to New York, you know, because it's been speculation that Lala wants him to go to New York. First of all, what's up with Lala? Wasn't that the chick name on He Got Game? Was her name Lala?
Same type of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
When you
art imitates life and life imitates art.
Right. I think the reason behind the fact that Donnie Walsh doesn't want to break up the Knicks is because Melo's already showed his cards. He's already let everyone know that he wants to play in New York. That's really the only place that he wants to go. So why break up? Why send contracts away that Denver wants you to send away when you can wait till the end of the season and get rid of the contracts that you want to get rid of and sign Melo that way? I mean, they're a pretty good team as it is right now. Donnie Walsh said the first priority right now is to trade for a center. So
Melo should have took a class in negotiation, and I'm sure his agent, whoever he was, but Melo got on that straight up. You know, but anyway, I'm sure that his agent was like, I mean, I understand you want to go there, but you can't. Melo seems very pressed to get there. So, just like Dev said, he showed his cards already. I mean, it's all negotiation, and, you know, so it's just, you know.
Personally, I'm tired of the whole thing. But B. Austin, what you got to say about this?
When Melo gets to New York, he's going to give my poor Sixers some work. think he's going to be in for it every night.
You think y'all think he's going to get there this year, or you think it's going to end up being a situation where, you know, he blew it, and depending on the new CBA, he might end up getting less money because they're $15 million under cap.
Just what y'all alluded to, Dev. Like, he showed his hand, and Donnie Walsh is playing him out now. Like, they're going to get him either way. I don't have to send, you know, what Denver is asking for, because I can just, I'm not giving up Gallinari. He's better than Ramon. I'm not giving
Denver would probably be the saltiest one if he waits till the end of the year because they're not going to get anything.
Depending on the collective bargaining agreement, Carmelo might lose money. I'm pretty sure no matter which way it goes, I'm pretty sure he's not going to get more money. But the Knicks are currently $15 million under the cap. Now, during what he could sign for now, that wouldn't be enough. But who knows? That $15 million, they may be able to just use that to pay Melo, and he might be losing like $5 million a year.
Right. Instead of getting a full max deal at 20, right?
Yeah. Real quick, let me get you guys' opinion on this, though. Do you think that even if he got there, they would have any success? Because, I mean, their games don't, like, complement each other with that being a Mary and a Melo. Like, they just don't complement each other the way their games are. They both, like, play with their, you know, back to the basket, so to speak, or face up. But I just don't see them meshing the way, like, Nash did with him or even Chauncey. So how do you think would do? You think it would be successful? Let me ask you, Dev.
I don't know. I mean, the bottom line on it, I think if you can get Carmelo in New York, you got to take him. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
It's not like it's a Wade LeBron situation where they do exactly the same thing, because Carmelo can play on the perimeter and on the post. So you got to make the move. That's just my thought on it.
If you describe success as winning the championship, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, I still think that defense and rebounding wins championships, and I don't think Melo will bring either of those. But, I mean, he's an offensive juggernaut, and I think it's going to improve the team, like Dev said, regardless. And I think it'll make it more competitive.
Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts?
Yo, for some reason, I don't think it's going to turn out well if he goes there. Like, they'll probably be like a 45-46-1 team and maybe make the playoffs 7-8 seed. But, you know, I don't think they'll be better than Boston. I don't think they'll be better than Miami. I don't think they'll be better than Chicago. I don't think they'll be better than the Magic. Maybe not even Atlanta. So he might go there and get more endorsements and things like that, but I don't know if they'll necessarily win.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see him getting stronger. Knicks look pretty good now. Go ahead, Jen.
We got a couple calls. Let's take these calls real quick. Let's take these calls.
Yeah.
Yo, you're in the war room. What's your name when you call from?
Here.
All right, well, that's that one. Let me see. Got another one here. There's a couple calls. Two different two. You're in the war room. 215-834. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Miss Dame. I'm calling from Philly. What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up, Dame?
We got to let the audience know. This is Dame. This is our vocalist on our theme song, and he killed it because all of y'all, you know, wrote into us and told us that he killed it. So that's what he's speaking to. What's going on,
Dame? Calling up for his royalty checks.
Hey,
yo,
let's give Dame a quick shout-out.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dad, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. How you want to end?
Yes, sir.
What up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, what's up, yo?
What's up,
hey,
Jelly?
Hey, man, I call to talk sports, man.
What's up? What's poppin'?
What's
on
your
mind, brother? This whole mellow thing, man. Like, I get emails, this Bleacher Report stuff. Like, I don't know. They got Melo going in the Sixers. They got Melo going in New York. I honestly don't think that's going to happen. It's not this season.
No, you're right. I mean, definitely not going to the Sixers because we don't stand a chance in the world with him re-signing. But it may not happen because Denver's asking for a lot in return. They're getting kind of greedy. They need to kind of fall back and realize that he can just walk away at the end of the year, you know, with no compensation. They need to stop asking teams for their whole roster to get Melo off of their team. So,
you can't get a whole roster from Melo. Like y'all are saying, dude, don't play no defense unless he's scoring points.
His defense is all
his defense. He outscores you.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, he don't play no defense, man. So, I mean, who they asking for from New York, though?
Well,
Wilson,
there was
Chandler, Gallinari.
Yeah, they definitely want Gallinari, and the Knicks really don't want to part with him because he's coming into his own. Chandler, B. Austin, I don't really think is a problem because Chandler, his contract is up, and he's about to ask for more money than people would expect Wilson Chandler to ask for. So I think the Knicks are either going to let him walk or put him in any deal that they do right now. But Gallinari, I think, is the piece that they don't want to get rid of. They're trying to get rid of Anthony Randolph. And I think the deal kind of hinged on him, and they said he's actually warming up to the idea of playing in Denver. He didn't want to at first. But my thing is, like, who is Anthony Randolph to tell us where we can see him?
Yo, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, who the hell is Anthony Randolph to say he's warming up to anything?
Randolph!
I don't even know who Randolph is.
I'm not talking to you, Mortimer.
Thanks for your call, man.
All right, y'all. Y'all be easy.
All right, man. We out.
All right, Dave. Be easy, Aki.
All right,
Dave. Yeah, he's a Randolph.
Yeah, yo, unless Mortimer with him, I don't know who Randolph is, yo. Anyway,
somebody made it. One of y'all made a comment about Melo and defense and rebounding with Amari. I definitely think that rebounding isn't going to be an issue, and they can play together. They can play together because imagine that on the strong side, that high low, yo. That's a mean situation at the guard board.
You're right. I think it'll be a pretty good situation. I just don't look at either of those two guys as, like, straight-up leaders that can lead a championship mentally.
You need a PG.
Amari's proven us wrong, though. Amari is doing his thing this year, yo.
Oh, yeah. He's balling. He's definitely balling. But I heard a couple of scouts, they were saying, like, they were basically trying to say without saying flat out, like, what's all this fuss over Carmelo? Like Dame said, they all agree that he's an offensive juggernaut, but they're like, you know, he doesn't play that much D, and what I just said, he's not that much of a leader. So in comparison to the other top-notch elite superstars in the league, they don't really see what the big fuss is over Carmelo right now. Y'all agree with that?
They saying that because he don't want to go there.
No, I agree. I see what they're saying. I think that he's at a point in his career where he's going to have to make a decision where he can look within himself and find those intangibles because he can always be a 25-point-per-game scorer, 8 to 10 rebounds a game, but can you lead your team? or are you just a stat stuffer? I kind of feel what they're saying, and Amari as well. Amari definitely need to play.
He's a joy to watch.
Yo, on offense,
also,
he is.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the coach is not gonna force them to play defense though. So I think they'll get a lot of points and do all of that. But when it comes down to winning in playoff time, I don't know if D'Antoni is going to get their full potential out on the other end.
That's probably why Melo's perfect.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick. Just give me your predictions. I don't need you to break the games down, but this Sunday we got a doubleheader. We got the Thunder at the Heat and the Celtics at the Lakers. I want to know who you guys got winning each matchup. PJ, who you got?
I like the Thunder over the Heat because D Wade's new sunglasses is weak, and Durant just gave us his career highs last night, so he might be in a groove, and I think he's gonna carry that down to Miami with him.
Celtics, Celtics, Lakers. Who you got?
I like the Celtics because KG is wearing them sneaks that have the Celtics record over the Lakers all time on the tongue, which is stupid because they only valid for one game. But because he's wearing them, I think they're gonna play with a chip on their shoulder. Give me the Lakers. Give me the Celtics.
Dad, just give me a pick because PJ still broke it down. Give me a pick, Dad.
All right, I'm gonna go. I mean, it's hard not to, but I'm gonna go Thunder over the Heat just because of the Heat's injury situations, and I'm gonna go. I usually pick against them in big games, but I'm gonna go Lakers over the Celtics because of KG sneaks. Maybe that'll be enough to round Obi up.
Guess wrong with KG sneaks being a deciding factor with everybody. Dr. Bayon, give me a pick: Thunder at Heat and Celtics at Lakers.
I got Thunder over the Heat. And I have the Celtics beating the Lakers.
Okay, B. Austin, no breakdown. Give me your picks. Thunder at Heat, Celtics at Lakers.
Kevin Durant is a better human being than Ramon, so I'm going with the Thunder. And I'm going with the Celtics over the Lake Show.
Okay. I'm going with the Thunder, and I'm taking the Lakers because I don't know who's playing for the Celtics. Them old dudes, like, you don't know who's in the lineup from night to night, yo. Anyway,
Perkins is back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that means Shaq could take some more time off then.
And
yo,
I
my man
LeBron
Shaq played like 1/4 of the regular season, yo.
I think LeBron is
gonna
get it in. They're gonna get it in because Durant has something to prove because they're comparing him with LeBron now, and LeBron probably got something to prove because they're comparing him with LeBron now.
and they all Kobe's sons.
Yeah, LeBron could fall back like his hairline. PJ, you want to tell everybody how to get in touch with us and everything?
Yeah. Y'all can get in touch with us on our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send us an email, to one of the hosts personally, all of our email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, one of the War Room professors just might call on you. Back to you, Dad.
All right. We're going to get into this this playoff talk real quick. NFL Championship Weekend, which we just had this past weekend. It was an interesting one, so we're going to get right into it. As we all know, the Steelers, defeated the Jets. PJ, what were your observations of this game? Like, you know, the way it went down, the way it was played. Did it go down how you thought it would?
Honestly, it didn't. I didn't expect the Steelers to jump out so quick on the Jets like that. So that honestly did surprise me. I thought the Jets would put up more of a fight. One thing I see in that the Steelers is that's very interesting is, one, their defensive intensity. Two, the way they were able to run the ball at will and essentially control the game just using Mendenhall. And I'll talk about him a little bit more later, but just running the ball and the way they were jump out. That surprised me a little bit. I thought that the Jets would put up more of a fight, to be honest, early on in the game.
The ball Mendenhall. Yeah, I think the Steelers were actually surprised at how they jumped out. I mean, you see that they never scored again in the second half.
Right.
The Jets, they didn't, you know, from the door, they didn't strike me as a team that could get down by that many points and actually come back. So the fact that they even made that game interesting was kind of surprising to me because I'm one of the Sanchez non-believers, but I can't admit that week after week I think that the young kid is he's improving. But
getting
just
better,
like you said early, Sanchez was taking nobody to the Super Bowl, and the Steelers are back for another chance.
I didn't expect Rashida Mendenhall to be going up in Ben Roethlisberger on the ground like that.
That was weird, man. I don't understand.
That was awkward. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you celebrate with somebody when he's laying face down and you are laying up against him, frontal
with
region
his
to
butt,
back region,
with his butt
and then start to,
with his buttock
yeah, and then start
yours.
To thrush. Yeah, but then you start to thrust
Yo.
Your pelvic area against
he
his tiny.
Yo, I have no clue. I have no clue why he tried to take Big Ben's Mannheimer and tear it. Yo, that was a disgrace, yo. First off, between that and Sanchez putting his boogies all over the place, I'm like, yo, what's going on? They got too many cameras. I don't need to see all this.
That's the thing, man. There's too many cameras at sporting events these days because they're catching a whole lot of stuff that, you know, we usually wouldn't see. And we'll get on the whole Cutler thing later, but, you know, the cameras were all on the sideline when they're supposed to be on the game. But Sanchez, if you guys didn't catch it, Sanchez dug up his nose, got a boogie, and wiped it on Mark Brunell's jacket over on the sideline. And you know how cold it was there, so that boogie probably froze in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's probably torn on his jacket.
Walking around with a hard-ass boogie on his coat. Hey, but this is a thought that I had, and I want to get you guys' opinion on it. The Jets switched up their whole mentality the week leading up to this game. Do you guys think that they were too nice? Like, should
absolutely.
Yeah, like, why did they do that? I don't understand what the strategy was in that. Or were they just really scared of the Steelers?
They were fired
up before all the other games, and in their play, like, you know, reflected that. In this game, they were like, you know, this pretty much just taking all the Steelers and, like, you know, giving them a man love. And next thing you know, they come out all flat and they weren't excited. It looked like, you know, they didn't start playing to the second half.
Right.
They didn't want Rashida Mendenhall to do that to them.
I'm pretty
sure.
Probably
not.
Yeah.
Pretty sure
he switched it a lot.
Laid into him at halftime.
Yeah, woke him up. But, yeah, I think that backfired on him. All that respect backfired on him.
Yeah. I think it's Pittsburgh's year, man. They go four games and win those first four games without an offense, relying on Charlie Batch and an amalgamation of unknown quarterbacks. And then
Brad,
you come back. Mm-hmm.
They're playing in their eighth Super Bowl. When the hell is it not Pittsburgh year?
Yeah, they play. Yo, they win every other year. Yo, under Big Ben, every other year.
But even on top of that, their starting center goes out on the first play of the game. The next play, Rashida Mendenhall takes it for like 30 yards.
Yo, to be real though, I mean, dude, what he did was crazy, but dude was running like he was trying to get north, if you know what I mean. The dude was.
Yeah.
He was on the Underground Railroad.
Like, Mendenhall and Redmond, they were both running hard that day. And the Jets.
Yeah, a lot of bad
tackling.
Have
a good run defense, couldn't do anything.
I think if you look at it, a lot of tackling was like the Jets. They look like the Eagles. That's how the Eagles have tackled all year, not to bring the Eagles into it. But, you know, it just seemed like the tackle. A lot of times guys were in position, but they just didn't make tackles. And I don't know what's the reason. I don't know. But you're right. They were running hard, and the Jets didn't want no parts of it.
Yo, yeah. Like you said during the game, PJ, it looked like it was some buffalo wings in the end zone they was trying to get to.
Yo, here's a question. Here's an issue that came up on our Facebook page earlier in the week. It was actually same question was posted, like, in a different way by two different people about Mike Tomlin. Now, we all know the Pittsburgh Steelers are a great organization. But the question is Mike Tomlin that great of a coach, or is some of the credit for his success, does some of the credit have to go back to the organization? Kill, cool. Let you shut off on that one. I haven't heard from you in a sec.
Yeah, Leah, can you restate that, Deb? Sorry about that.
Tomlin, is he that great of a coach?
Credit
to the organization?
Yeah, Tomlin, I think he comes in, it kind of reminds me of a young Mike Singletary with more energy, like, you know, we're going to start off, we're going to hit him in the mouth. But he actually has a quarterback, and he has the defense and system and ownership to back him. So when he wants a player, he can add that player. He has a solid quarterback, and, you know, they have a tradition. So he just reminds me of like what we all thought Singletary was going to do in San Fran, but he just didn't have the resources.
Yeah. But no, I feel you though, because my thought in the situation, I think I'm not sure, like, you know, with the X's and O's, because Pittsburgh they do have a great organization. You know, I can't front, but I'm not going to give them all of the credit, because I do think that motivating your players to play, no matter how good your team is still an important aspect of the game. You know, I learned that talking to y'all about Phil Jackson and all that. But he seems to be a really, really good motivator of men, and that counts for something. So, you know, we heard a lot of people earlier this week, Jimmy, talking about Dick LeBeau and giving him a lot of the credit. And I know you had some strong thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is not to take anything away from Dick LeBeau. He's probably the greatest defensive coordinator of his time or of all time. But at the same time, I wouldn't give him all the credit. People were, like, discounting Mike Tomlin and saying that Dick LeBeau is the reason for their success. Like, they don't remember how horrible Dick LeBeau was as a head coach. As a head coach, he was trash truck juice. But at the same time, he's a great defensive mind. But with that being said, Mike Tomlin is nice. And like you said, it doesn't matter the amount of talent you have. You have to, you know, get them to play ball. And when you look at it, Bill Cowher took over for Chuck Knoll, and he never had the same type of criticism Tomlin has. Well, he doesn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And he had the same coordinator. He had Dick LeBeau for a time. He won a bowl with him as well. But, you know, why didn't he take this kind of criticism?
He had Dick LeBeau for a while, Cowher did. Cowher coached there for 15 years and had one bowl. Mike Tomlin is going to his second bowl in 3 years, and he gets criticism. Like Dev said, I think he's a
good
motivator.
You know what
it is. Yeah, exactly. I think when a coach can inject his personality into a team and get the team to, like Kill said, they do have the actual players, but also get the team to embrace that and want to fight and rumble for him. Almost, I mean, sort of kind of like the Jets do for Rex Ryan, but at a higher level. It's not necessarily putting down the opposition to do it. And I think he does it in, you know, to use our something that we talked about before, in almost like a classy way. But at the same time, he still motivates them to play.
I actually wouldn't make it a Cowher versus Tomlin thing, because actually with Pittsburgh's success of late, I hear people questioning Cowher the same way. So
yeah,
you know,
well,
I don't.
I mean, they do.
Know,
I mean, they do. But
I've
not
heard
the way
a lot
they
of people
Tomlin.
Questioning Cowher. Like
when I was listening, I'm gonna take
a question.
How do they question him?
The same way. Like, they're asking, like, well, wow, they're still winning and they're this good. Was Cowher all of that great, or is it just the organization, you know, putting these guys in the right position? So,
I'm going to take
so Tomlin
it.
And Cowher is kind of taking a little bit of fire now. What do you say, B.O.?
I'm going to take that road, really, and look at it from that perspective. I believe that it is subjective, so it's a number of the issues we've talked about that contribute to Pittsburgh's success. But I'm going to say number one is their management's ability to identify talent and personalities that will fit within their system. if you look at their defense, they've run the same defense since Chuck Noll. They run the same. You won't see a 4-3.
It's been decrepit. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they run the same defense, so they're plugging in. They're plugging in parts into a machine, and the machine never really shuts down or never really goes under because they stick to the script. And I think that
You said they run the same defense since Chuck Noll.
Yeah, they run the same base defense. Yep.
They run a 3-4 now.
They
run a 3-4 now, don't they?
Yeah, they run a 3-4.
Yeah, but Dick LeBeau created the 3-4 in a sense. Dick LeBeau
under Chuck Noll's coaching regime. I'm talking about the entire since Chuck Noll left. So under Cowher, we'll say Cowher. From Cowher's tenure, they ran that 3-4.
Right.
Yeah.
If you go back to Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd, those were just great plugs or great widgets to go into the machine. And I think great widget.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I agree with you, Dev, that people have questioned Kyle, but not to the same extent. Listen to talk radio, people have just discounted Mike Tomlin as just being at the right time. They've actually given credit to Cowher for Tomlin's success, believe it or not. And I think it's a whole other issue
that's
I don't want to get into today. But I want to say is what they going to do next year when it's Raheem Morris versus Mike Tomlin?
I mean, I know the issue that you're saying, but it was the same thing when Gruden came and took over Tampa Bay.
With Dungy.
And you know, people were saying, well, he did it with Dungy's players, Dungy's system. And, you know, since it was the other way around, we didn't really hear those same people.
No, I agree, but they're disrespecting this young man.
Yeah,
I mean, they make it seem like he's just a figurehead. Like, I don't know his X and O's game, but he has to do something to coach teams to go to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. Come on, man. It ain't like Pittsburgh philosophy has been the same since Chuck Noll, which is play defense and run the football. They never went out and got, like, you know, that's been their philosophy, and they're doing it, man.
And the ball looks
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They act like the Steelers went and hired Omar Epps and like, let him coach, and, you know, they're still winning.
But look, let's move. Congratulations to the Steelers for their 8th trip to the Super Bowl. We're going to move on to the next game, the Packers and the Bears. I'm going to go ahead and just congratulate the Green Bay Packers for advancing to the Super Bowl now because we know where most of this conversation is going to go. So, observations, fellas. Jimmy spoke on it in his PTR. PJ, and then, you know, everybody just chime in. Did Cutler quit?
He is a no-good scoundrel catfish vulture, cuz. I'm just got to say that right now about Cutler. Here's the deal. There's a difference between hurt and being injured. Everybody in the NFL plays hurt this time of the year. Whether he was injured or hurt, I don't know. Honestly, and this is just me. Like, I've heard everybody come out. I've heard some Cutler protectionists. I've heard people that are being objective about the situation. I just don't know. Like, his injury got progressively worse. I believe he definitely was hurt. I don't know how badly he's injured. I feel like his demeanor was Lovey might have said, you know, hey, Cutler, you're done. And he said, great, where's my jacket? You guys got any hot chocolate? I'll chill. This is the biggest game of his life. This is the biggest game of his life. So I just don't – he's just a hate-the-face type dude. He's one of those dudes that suffers from a dumb expression and a dumb face that looks like he doesn't care. And I don't know if he does or not, but to me, I just feel like he should have – I just feel like there should have been more – effort there to even like look or make it seem or something. Just make it because perception becomes the reality, and the perception of him was that he didn't give a dag on.
He's penalized for his expression.
Yeah,
you are. I mean, if you look at somebody like that's why we penalize Donovan McNabb for the same thing. I mean, we're talking about Cutler. But I mean, I think a lot of athletes do get that. I mean, unfortunately, you do. Right or wrong, it happens. I don't even think he was that hurt, though, to be honest with you. But
see, now that's where I kind of jumped to his defense this week because I don't really know how people can determine whether somebody's hurt or not just because they're not, you know, being. A lot of those dudes, when they get hurt, they're basically being drama queens, limping around, crawling on the ground. You know, I don't think if a guy doesn't
shout
do
out
that,
to Paul Pierce.
Yeah, I don't think that you can necessarily say that he wasn't hurt. Like, I've done a lot of research on the whole MCL thing since this came down because I was the first one to go on Facebook on our page when it happened and ask people, like, did Cutler quit? But to hear all the nitpicking that I've heard all throughout the week, I think that is kind of getting ridiculous. And nobody can really tell if that man was hurt or not. And unless everybody's calling Lovie Smith a liar, Lovie said it was his call. And, I mean, you guys, and somebody else told me the same thing. Image and perception is reality. But, I mean, I'm not buying too much into that theory either because we all knew that Cutler was a jerk before any of this stuff happened. So I don't know what you expected from him on the sideline after he was taken out of the game. But
well, he was how did he run 20 yards once they scored the second touchdown in celebration? And then he was walking around the same night, then walking around the same day, no brace, no crane, no crutch. You know,
DJ,
he was just walking
around
free.
Different than playing in a professional football game.
That was right, but
you can Green Bay Packers with A.J. Hawk and Clay Matthews Jr. chasing after you. That's a whole different thing.
I understand
thing,
that,
man.
But it's also the biggest game of your life. And at some point in time, you got to suck it up. If you can move around, then you should be able to go out there and play.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I
have
something to say.
What is that?
T.O. Dog.
My quarterback.
Oh.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
This is a question I have to that. Like, that T.O. John made me lose my train of thought.
Talking about
I understand what PJ's saying. Like, he was running down the sidelines when the first touchdown. He ran like 20 yards.
Adrenaline.
To celebrate the first touchdown.
Okay.
But with
if he had that adrenaline, then he should have had the adrenaline in the damn game. It's the biggest game of your life. You don't just have adrenaline because somebody scored, nigga. You better have adrenaline when you out there. Come on, man. He's a chump. He's a chump, and he quit on his team. He was hurt, of course, but you sucked up the.
You got to do lateral
movement. Come on, man. He's dropping. I understand
forward,
it, but he's not Mike Vick.
He's not running around
that much back there.
PJ, you have to move around. He got dudes coming
after him. I understand
that,
and he did move when they scored. And he scored, when they scored a touchdown, he moved too.
Okay,
hold on,
he rolled down the sideline. You never twisted your ankle up real bad and
right, and I played on it several times.
Listen to what I'm saying, man. Let me ask you the question. You can move, you can play, you can do things, but we're talking about professional sports here. There's a certain level that you have to be at. Like, he's not going to want to stand out there and kill himself just because he's trying to prove to all
the
world
that
he's
like, right? It sounds like you're being a protectionist for the guy. I mean, everybody plays hurt. There are plenty of players that play hurt. It's not going to feel good. Yes, there's going to be pain in your knee when you drop back to plant and throw, and you need to have your balance. I understand that, but you're in the biggest game of your life. So because you're uncomfortable, you're going to get – it ain't like – he went out there and tried to throw a pass, and it was like 6 yards short after halftime. So then he comes out.
And you expect
out.
Him to stay
but,
out there and keep doing that. So how is he helping
the team? How do you know that was because of his leg?
He's throwing four touchdowns
in one game before. Come on, man.
Okay.
The ball is not that good. If you run down the lead, if you can run down the sideline, you can play the damn game.
Oh,
let me
ask you a question,
man. But here's the bottom line, and I hear both of you, but – if he would have limped out there and whatever. PJ, come hold one second. If he would have limped out there, even if he wouldn't have been successful, he would have elevated to get his teammates because they would have saw that he was fighting for them. He's already been questioned as a leader and for his heart and his courage. So the thing is, body language does matter, believe it or not, because, I mean, it's the reason why people don't like the guys personally because of his body language. Second of all, he's been questioned about his heart all the time. And if he would have went out there, limped out there and tried, he would have went down in Chicago lore, whether they want to lose the guy that came out there fighting. But now it's going to be hard for him to live this down.
How much was out of movement did Byron Leftwich have when they had to carry him down the field because he couldn't even run?
He had no lateral movement.
How much lateral movement did Leftwich have? And he still went out there and played played well. And this is supposed to be a gunslinger that's supposed to have a strong arm.
Paul,
let me off the speech.
Was left was running from Clay Matthews Jr.
Running from defending? Come on, man. I understand it's Clay Matthews, but you act like he's playing. It's Cutler, and then it's the defense. It's, no, his offensive line. I understand the Bears' offensive line is not good, but you can go in the match protect. You can do certain things to try to protect your quarterback from that. I mean, he was then they put in the backup who's trash.
Can I talk?
He was sacked
52 times this year. He's behind a shaky line. None of us on this panel thinks that Jay Cutler is a great quarterback anyway. So leaving him out there to throw passes where he can't plant, he don't plant half the time anyway, to throw passes 6 yards short, what would be the point of
leaving
him out there?
He threw one pass 6 yards short. But he threw one pass 6 yards short. You mean to tell me you got a better chance with that backup bum?
You got a better chance
with that backup bum that they put in there than they got with Cutler? I can play better than that backup they put in there that's a bum. That second straight, I don't even know his name. His name doesn't even deserve to be said on the radio station. He's that bad. And you're going to tell me dude that gives you a better chance to win than Cutler.
Whoa.
Now, obviously, they put
BJ,
the third
BJ,
thing
BJ,
in.
BJ,
I think most backup quarterbacks
on,
in the league will give you more of a chance to win than a one-legged Cutler.
All right. And if you're a coach, you know who's got as your backup. So you leave Cutler in there because your backup is garbage. You know who your backup is. That's your team. You put him there.
I think the bottom line is P.J. think that you should put it all on the line considering where you're playing. And, Dev, can you say that you think personally that Cutler put it all out there? Forget whether he's hurt or not. Did he leave it on the field? Do you think that?
I don't know what he did mentally. I agree with you the other day that he probably on the sideline checked out mentally because I don't believe Caleb Haney when he says that, you know, Cutler was helping him out and this. And I don't believe that. I mean, I know the camera only shows us 3 second shots at a time, but it really didn't look like dude was interested in the game. But my problem was with people questioning this man's injury. Like, it's easy for non-professional athletes to sit here and say what dude should do, and you name the most amazing things you ever seen. You're not going to tell me that.
No, but hold on, though. Let me ask you a question.
The Leftwich situation and the whole Ronnie Lott cutting his finger off, those are two of the most amazing tough guy things you've ever seen.
But I think
you're
going to
hold every player to that standard? You're gonna hold every
You playing the best game of your life. I think you should give it a better. You playing in the most important game of your life, which you worked your whole life to get through. I think you should give it a little bit more effort than that. Not one pass. Can I find a place to sit up and run up on the sideline and cheer?
All right,
come on, that's cowardice. That's corny. And a leader should not do that.
When you get an NFL player, I'm gonna come over and we're gonna run some ball and we're gonna see how good.
I've run balls before injured, so you can do it anytime you want.
So
I'll be injured and play. And guess what? I'm in decent enough shape, and I know how to play ball. I'm decent enough shape to continue playing while I'm injured. If my finger's broke, I'm not playing. But if it is not, and I can still play and it's fun, and this is the best game of my life, I'm running rock with you all day.
It's easy to say from the couch, man.
It is. We all do that. Everybody on this show does. Everybody on the Four Letters does. We analyze things that we're non-professional athletes, and we analyze things every day about what they should have done. Now we can't do it against Cutler. Why is there a protection realm around Cutler that we can't do this for? We do it every day. We talk about what athletes do all the time, and we never play it down in the league.
Hold on, calm down, Dev. Let me ask you one question before we move on, because most who want to ask a question in the chat room. She said, if Jay Cutler was the Eagles quarterback, would you feel the same way?
I would feel the same way. Like when we talked about Donovan McNabb, we talked about him quitting on the field when he wasn't injured. We just talked about him checking out of games because we were down in the game. I never questioned that man. Like, okay, he's hurt, and I'm gonna say, oh, that dude.
But
ain't hurt.
I think that most people believe that's the, not whether it's right or wrong. I think most people believe that's the same thing Jay Cutler did. He was playing horrible. The team was losing. People think that he made an injury. Like, so the same token, it's like Donovan would have like came up with an ankle or, you know, ankle sprain, tear, whatever it would have been, because Cutler and most people believe that he checked out of the game because he was playing poorly and the team was losing. And he used this whole MCL thing as an excuse. If the team were winning, I wonder if the MCL would have had the same effect, considering he ran 20 yards in the first touchdown.
He took himself out of the game.
He didn't fight to come back in either. I've seen Brett Favre play
Jimmy,
with Duffy. I'm not holding him to that standard.
Jimmy, he played after the injury. He did come back in. What are you talking about?
I understand
about?
That, but what I'm saying is when he came out, when he finally came out of the game in the third quarter.
He didn't. He came back in the game.
When the coach told him to sit down, he never came back in. They said the coach, offensive coordinator, and coach told him, look, we're going to put you down. He didn't fight. You've seen quarterbacks and guys fight to come back in the game. This is the NFC Championship, and I understand what people are saying. This is a come around every, you know, all the time.
Legends,
you're in the NFC.
He's
never been in the NFC.
A lot of players that talked about this said that the coach would have to shoot me to keep me off the field. Yeah, but a lot of players that weighed in on this, a lot of players that weighed in on this said that you would have to shoot me to keep me off the field. The coach will say, yeah, I'm going to sit you down. But if you are adamant enough, like, yo, I want to try to do this. I want to give I want to give it another shot. I want to fight. I can do it. Then they're not going to make you sit out. PJ, a coach is going to let you do it. And they said it happens on sidelines all the time. That's the thing.
Jones Drew is one of those people that I played on one all year, and Charles Barkley played him, called him out. Like, what are you talking about? You missed the last two games of the season when y'all were still in playoff contention because your knee was hurting. So, yeah, they said that stuff because they all sitting at home jealous.
How are ex-players, retired players jealous? What they jealous of?
I'm talking about the players.
He hasn't done anything to be jealous
with.
I'm talking about people like, I know what you're talking about. I wasn't talking about Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm talking about people like Mark Schlereth. It's other people that talk that are on, for example, that are on ESPN, that are former players, play with Elway, talking about different things. And I'm not saying Cutler's Elway whatsoever.
Animal, man. Dude had like 95 surgeries. It's certain.
But I mean, so everybody that we bring up, you got an excuse for why you can't take defense.
Like you. You can't hold
but,
it. Yo,
I mean, but this,
oh,
he's not talking about just him.
Yo. We spent a week.
You got an excuse for everybody that we bring up. Like,
yo, we talking. We spending way too much
that.
Time on Jay Cutler. Yo, let's move on. Yo, he's a bum and he quit. He's a fraud. Let's move on. Yo, I'm tired of even talking about
he's
this
trash.
Dude.
I
think
I
agree.
All right, let's
get out.
Huh?
Go ahead. What you saying?
I said I think on Purple Hands would have played. Yeah.
I think I killed Bayon would have played. He's a loser. Let's move on, yo. Wait a minute. One second.
Kill, you make a very good point. But when Purple Hands does it, Jimmy bashes him for doing it at the detriment of his team. So now you want this dude who was playing like trash, and after he got hurt was playing even more like trash, you want him to do it. Y'all bash Favre for doing it at the detriment of his team, but now you're bashing this dude for not doing it. Make up your mind.
I think it's time and place. It's time and place. That's the NFC Championship. That's different.
I don't ever bash Favre for playing hurt, though.
I'm not necessarily bashing
like
Favre. When I bash Favre, it wasn't because he was hurt. It's because he was just making bad decisions.
If this wasn't the NFC Championship, I don't think people would come at Cutler like this. I honestly believe that.
No,
we saw Brett Favre do it against the Saints 2 years ago, and he was obviously hurt.
And Jimmy reminded me of that. LaDainian did it 2 years ago. Nobody said nothing. Yeah,
I did. I called him a quitter then, too. Quitter. He's
no,
a quitter, too. I kill him right
me.
Now. He quit. And first of all, speaking of quitters, shout out to LeBron James. Let's move on.
All right, go ahead. Take us into that meme.
Yo, we are getting ready to talk about the best ever, yo, the greatest QB of all time. And I need people to weigh in the chat room, call in, whatever it is, because I know that personally what I'm going to say is going to offend a lot of people, but so what, deal with it. Basically, first of all, we want to pay homage to the greats that we didn't see, like Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Tarkin, and all those type of cats. We're talking about players that we have seen. Otto Graham, anybody you want to name, all them old bastards. Anyway, we're talking about players that we have seen. And I want to, you know, talk about who you guys believe is the GOAT, the greatest, and give me your top five in no particular order unless you do want to go in order. Who wants to start off and give their top five?
I'll start off. Let's go with my top five includes Mr. John Elway. Junior, he's in my top five. We also have Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, and I have a tie, man, with Peyton Manning and Steve Young.
What's wrong with your tie?
Okay.
My five? Hey, without saying extra, can I give you 10 real quick? I give you 10. I got
you can't.
Yep.
I got to go
my
10.
Top
10. Go ahead. Name your 10 then.
Okay, no particular order. Elway, Montana, Peyton Manning, Marino, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Tom Brady, Jim Kelly, Warren Moon, and Dan Fouts. That's my top 10 in no particular order.
Yo, that's like my top 10. That's like my top 10 minus Favre. Go ahead.
My top five is Peyton, Miami Dan Marino, Joe Cool Montana, Jonathan Elway, Jimmy little cousin, and Thomas Brady. And Thomas Brady has an asterisk by him, but he in my five. He got an asterisk, though.
Hey, B. Austin, you want to give your top five, yo?
Hey, PJ, he got a cheat trick by him.
Yeah, I got to go with a 10. I'm going Montana. Montana, Elway, Marino, Peyton, Tom Brady, Favre, Warren Moon. How many is that, fellas?
I don't know.
It's like six or seven.
I don't know.
It's either six or seven.
Yo, this your list, dog.
Listen, this is my question to y'all. Like,
can I get my five?
Oh, you ain't do yours. My bad.
No, I ain't do my five. So here's my five right here, yo. And I'll give them to you in my order. Yo, I have Elway as one. I got Brady, Manning. Then I have Steve Young and Montana. And I honestly believe that Dan Marino is overrated, and we can get into this later. Let's go.
What's your guys?
Yeah,
like?
Young is on my list. Steve Young is definitely on the
Steve
list.
Steve Young. See,
yeah.
Go ahead.
What's your criteria for like greatest quarterback of all time? Like when you think about this whole topic, what's the criteria that you use personally?
Well, personally, me, I don't look at stats like everybody else in terms of statistics. I look at when I watch the game, the guys who I thought will win. I look at leadership as like, you know, being one of the top things. Overall talent, meaning that what they can do on the field, not so much what their statistics are, but what they did on the field. Championships are not as important as, you know, a lot of people say, well, he doesn't have any championships. That's not why I think Dan Marino is overrated. I have other reasons, but it's a lot of different things that go into it. So a lot of people have said that you can't just say who's the greatest. You have to break it down, like, what's your criteria? But I think if you combine everything, I just think that, you know, John Elway is the greatest quarterback ever. Go ahead, though.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, I think you have to mix in a little bit of everything. But I go skill set is definitely important to me. The production, you know, if you got silly numbers, then, of course, they got to go into the equation. The leadership factor, like you said, and I don't know. Like, I guess you can put championships do play a part in it, but as you said, in the ultimate team game of football, you can't judge everybody's career strictly off championships.
Well, no, not on a 53-man roster.
Yeah, PJ, you got any extra criteria?
Yeah, that was pretty similar. I give a shout out to my man Maul Burgess. Sometimes I would consider how the player played in the particular championship game. Obviously, once the stage gets bigger, sometimes you look at how they performed, they stepped their games up. But again, like you said, in a team game, it's hard to just use championships because you have a diesel roster and everybody that got in the game played a part in it.
Yeah, so. But it's crazy, though, because the dudes on this list, some of them who actually won championships, they just kept winning championships.
It
shows you're on a great team. Go ahead, Kill.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say, like, my criteria was like, okay, I thought about if everything was equal on the team, defense, offense, players, and coaching, which quarterback would thrive? And the reason why I think I put Elway at the top, because one, his physical capabilities and the teams that he actually, some say he drugged three teams to the Super Bowl, and then he won two, but he's been to five, more than any quarterback. But also I see how a guy like Tim Kelly is underrated because he lost four. I mean, what other quarterback could have seen the four Super Bowls? And he ran the offense himself. He called his own plays.
He did run the hurry up.
They were getting it in.
Yeah, Kill. I'm glad you
brought that up, because I was gonna ask your opinion on Jim Kelly. He gets knocked a lot for those four Super Bowls, but dude was a monster.
Yeah. No, I think Kill made a real good point, because that's something that you have to put into the equation, too. Like, how much, like, of an extension of the coaching staff was a particular quarterback? Like, you know, I'm sorry, y'all, for bringing his name up again, but everybody always wants to tell us how great Donovan McNabb is, but dude is just a robot to the system. I've seen that man call about six audibles in a 12-year career. He doesn't have the confidence, nor, you know, does he have...
Hold on, Dev. And all six of those audibles were to running plays because he was tired.
Yeah.
Probably.
True that.
All right.
I'm sorry for bringing him up in this conversation because he doesn't belong anywhere in here. So let's go ahead and move
on. We're talking GOAT quarterbacks, and how did name ever get mentioned?
We get ratings when we mention his name, though. Jimmy, so you got
yes,
Elway. You got Elway as
yes.
number one? And
yes.
Phil, you got Elway as number one?
Yep, yeah, I have Elway.
We got any more Elways in the room?
No.
All right, well, then y'all two can go ahead and just make a joint case for Elway. Just throw stuff out there. Shoot.
Well, honestly, my reason, and the thing is, coming into this, before I started doing my research, I didn't have Elway as number one. I had Montana as number one. But upon doing my research, I came to the conclusion that Elway is because he's never had a top defense like Marino did. Marino had a top five defense every year of his career. He's never had the receiver that Montana has played with Jerry Rice for the majority of his career. Elway never had that. Montana's had a top five defense every year of his career. Elway has never had that. And those three teams that he lost the Super Bowl, they shouldn't even have been in the Super Bowl, let alone they not have any Hall of Famer. They had no Pro Bowlers on that team other than him. And he pretty much dragged them to the Super Bowl himself by making plays in a clutch in games they should not have even been in. And the reason I say it's sort of like the whole Big Ben argument. Like when I watch Ben play, no Mendenhall, he makes plays when they're needed. Ben doesn't put up the gaudy stats, and Elway didn't put up the gaudy stats like Marino or Kelly. But when the plays were needed, he made them. I remember the Super Bowl that he did win when he made that run, you know, to get to the 1 yard line. This 37-year-old dude put his body on the line, no Jay Cutler, and made the play, and it uplifted his whole team, and they started balling from that play on out. You know, and that's why I would put him the intangibles, his physical ability with his arm, his ability to scramble. That's why I put him at number one over anybody else. Kill, you have anything to say, Kill?
Yeah, I got some bullet points. 35 fourth quarter comebacks and 46 game winning drives.
Right.
2-3 in Super Bowls. Mobile quarterback, averaged 4.4 yards a carry. Ran for about 300. Cannon arm. Best.
The microphone died for a second.
Sorry about that. Can y'all hear me? You hear me now?
Yeah.
Hear you now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Elusive, pocket presence, cannon arm, accuracy. Like I said, averaged 4.4 yards a carry and ran about 300 yards a year and one of the best in the clutch. And under Reeves, his stats get messed up all the time because Reeves, for three quarters, 3 yards in the cloud of dust, 3 yards in the cloud of dust. And then if they were down, he'd say, all right, John, go win the game for us. So as soon as he switched to Wade Phillips and then Shanahan, his QB rating and stats and passing efficiency automatically went up. And I juxtaposed that to who played in a great system and had talent, whereas if you remember, when Montana got hurt, Steve Young came in, put up the same stats. Elvis Gerbach came in, put up the same stats. Steve Bono came in, put up the same stats. And Gerbach and Bono got signed to other teams and didn't do nothing after that.
Exactly.
So you're basically saying that Montana's overrated. That's what you're trying to say.
But he's a great player, but he's not.
He's great in the clutch, but he's still top five, but not number one.
I'm an Elway fan. I got him probably about fourth on my all-time list. One about the bullet points that you made. My opinions: the whole fourth quarter comeback stat for quarterbacks, I think that's overrated. What's not overrated? One of your bullet points is the actual game-winning drives. Like, you know, that's legit. But the fourth quarter comeback, you could be down 1 point and you can end the third quarter at the 1 yard line. You come back after the break, plunge it in from 1 yard line, and that's if you never give the lead back up, that's considered a fourth quarter comeback.
And so
score on an interception touchdown.
Yeah.
That's an example of stats lie that the Lemmings don't get. Stats do lie. And I agree with you on that, Dev. But go ahead, though.
Now, game-winning drives, on the other hand, Elway was that dude.
43.
He was that dude on the game-winning
drive. Let me ask y'all this, though. Did Elway – how much of Rod Smith's career was with Elway?
That was I would call the second half of his career. That was when Wade Phillips came in. He had been to three bowls before he met Rod Smith.
Before they shook hands.
Right, but did he win? Did he win one of those bowls with Rod?
Yeah, he didn't because the players he played with. Here's the thing: Elway had no help in his first three bowls. Once they got him some help, back to back. I mean, it's just that simple. No one wins on an island. No one wins by themselves. But at the same
time,
he
had a bowl with Shannon Sharp, Tim?
Yeah, he
with
did.
Shannon
both
Sharp?
His bowls had Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
When they got him some talent, they got him somebody to throw to. They got him Shannon Sharp. They got him Rod Smith. They got him McCaffrey, who was a you know, possession receiver. They got him Terrell Davis. He went back to back. When he was playing with Sammy Winder and Bobby Humphrey and Ricky Natil, you guys don't even know what these guys were.
I know.
Damn,
Bobby Humphrey. Shout out to Bobby Humphrey. Hey,
yo, first off,
Wilson Mobley.
The three amigos, and this goes for the Broncos and Miami. The three amigos only had a nickname because it was three of them, and they played with Elway. Duper and Clayton only were known because both of their names was Mark, and Dan Marino was thrown to them. Like,
but hold on, with that being said,
Vance Johnson was terrible. Vance Johnson was terrible.
And he looked like
hold on, real quick, though. With the three amigos, if you combine all their careers, there's only 1,000-yard season in all of their careers combined.
Yeah.
Duper and Clayton actually put up numbers. Duper and Clayton are like one of the best tandems ever in terms of numbers-wise, touchdown-wise. If you take any two of Mark Duper's seasons, they're better than Ricky Natil's entire career. You take any two years of Mark Duper's seasons.
Jimmy, let me shut that down right now. The Dolphins, when you're always down, when you're always down and you have to come from behind, you're going to get those numbers.
But that's a falsehood to say they were always down. That's not true.
I've got
stats
really
for every game Marino played. That's a lie too, PJ.
In Marino's defense, he does have 36 fourth quarter comebacks and 51 game winning drives.
We talked about that, though.
Yeah. No, not fourth quarter comeback, but game-winning drives. Game-winning drives because they were down.
Hold on, though. They weren't down, but can I say something to you, B. Austin, and PJ as well, in terms of that whole running game thing? That's not true. The Dolphins have led the league in rushing with Marino as their quarterback. One year having like 2150 yards. They also have averaged over 4 yards to carry several years, and you juxtapose that to, let's say, the Patriots, who won a Super Bowl averaging 3.4 yards a carry. So that whole never having a running game is a lie. The statistics prove otherwise.
Here's another twist to that. And I'm not saying this is a twist. I'm just saying, like we were saying, a lot of things have circumstances that people don't look at.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times teams with great quarterbacks will pass you to death, a la Peyton Manning, teams like that. They'll pass you to death, and when they get the lead, they just run for the rest of the game.
If you look at the Dolphins under Marino's tenure, when he first came to the Dolphins, they led the league in rushing. In the second year that he played, they led the league in rushing. They stopped running the ball as much because his arm was so nice. I'm not disrespecting and calling him a bum, but his arm was so nice that they actually changed their offense to be more of a pass-happy offense. But he's had several years when they had a running game, and he's also played several years when the Dolphins actually had the number one ranked defense in the league, and people always say he never had a defense. It's not true.
What made
him
number
one?
Statistically?
What do you mean? What made the defense number one?
Yeah.
Statistically and also points against. And I can give you an exact season and give you the statistics
if
you want.
Scoring defense, for real, fellas, is the only statistic that matters, because there have been times when the Redskins were like 6-10 and they had the number 4 and number 3 ranked defense in the league. So scoring
Marino,
is all that matters.
Well, in terms of
Broncos have never had a top-ranked defense. Marino's had the number 1 defense in the league, and that's points against.
The Broncos had a top-5 defense 7 years of Elway's career. Now, it wasn't the number one defense, but it was in the top 5 for 7 different years.
Listen, Marino
has
had two of the best defenses. I mean, they were number 1 in the entire league. And I give you the years. One was in 83. They only gave up 15.6 a game. And also in 98, they gave up 16.6 a game, which was number 1 in the league. That same season when they went to the playoffs.
Yeah, they was
the
nice.
Defense,
it was nice in 98.
They had the number 1 defense in the league. And that same year, when they went to the playoffs, he actually lost the playoffs. And if you look at Marino's numbers in the playoffs, they dip from the regular season.
They do.
His numbers dip. His numbers dip from the regular season. And he threw an interception pretty much in every playoff game he's threw. And when they had the number 1 defense, he threw a couple interceptions in that game to lose the game when the defense put him in position to win. Now, with that being said, Marino is still in my top 10, but it's just that all these myths that get thrown out year after year, I always hear him and I laugh. People say he never had a running game, he never had a defense, and it's just not true.
Brad,
which would you take?
He's not my
in comparing
top,
the
but.
two, And comparing the two, which would you rather have, a top five defense for 7 years or a number one defense 1 year, you know, in 83 and then another in 98, which is more consistent? Later.
Well, yeah. Hold on. Yeah. I only gave you the number one year. They had top five several more years, and I can give you those seasons as well. But the reason I gave you the two number ones are because they were far and away number one. And people always talk about how Terry Bradshaw played with this such-and-such defense. But the thing is, and when he won his four Super Bowls in his whole 14-year career, the Steelers were never ranked number one in terms of points against, ever. But people always knock him for having a great defense. They were never ranked as number one defense in any of the years that Terry Bradshaw played his entire career, 14 years. They never were number one.
I think you're putting too much weight on the actual number rank of the defense.
This is based upon points against.
And we're still some trash.
No, but like PJ said, the Broncos defense, when you look at those defenses, they were ranked in the top, but they weren't ranked number one points against. Like Brad said, points against is all that matters. These rankings, I'm talking about Marino had the number one defenses when people couldn't score on them. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many yards they give up and all this, that, and the third. When I give you the defensive rankings, I'm talking about points against. And Terry Bradshaw
Austin, who's your number one quarterback? Which was your number one quarterback?
Oh, man. It's rough, brother. It's rough.
Man, you're supposed to
I got a three-way tie at number one. Go ahead, PJ. Your number one, man?
Honestly, initially my number one before I started doing research was Dan Marino, because just looking at the type of player he is, his skill set in terms of the strong arm, quick delivery, smart. But then when I started doing a little bit more research, my number one is actually Peyton Manning. I honestly think, in my opinion, Peyton Manning is the best quarterback that I've ever seen. And again, like Jimmy was saying, part of it is your eyeball test. But secondly, I've never seen a quarterback, to me, aside from all his statistics, which are crazy, I've never seen a quarterback that's that smart. I've never seen a quarterback that literally could get to the line of scrimmage and play that much. And then again, I don't know if any other quarterback has done it as frequently as him. But with Peyton, his intelligence and his ability to read defenses, take advantage of, expose defenses and trick defenses, to me, accounts to the fact that he's been a 4,000-yard passer in 11 of his 13 seasons. He's thrown for over 25 touchdowns in every one of his 13 seasons consecutively, which is a record. He's a four-time MVP. He's very durable. I mean, he's not elusive by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a fairly durable quarterback, and he's smart. I mean, I don't want to go just based on statistics, and I know that in the postseason his numbers have dropped, but, I mean, he's also had a postseason game against the Broncos in 04 when he had 360 yards in the first half.
That's not rare, though, PJ.
I won't argue that, PJ.
That's not rare, because when you get into the playoffs, you're playing against the best team. So it's not a rare thing.
It's rare to find somebody that plays better, to be honest with you. When you look at quarterbacks as a whole, it's more rare.
PJ has actually given me some heart. All right, because put it this way. Okay, Dan Marino and Peyton Manning are the things. With all the research we've done, you know, you do find out new things, like he said. But Dan Marino and Peyton Manning are the two best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life with my own eyes. Stats aside, even though their stats are silly, stats aside and championships aside and all that kind of stuff, those are the two best quarterbacks, just pure quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. Now, last year I said this before the Super Bowl. I said, and I don't know why I put this on there, I think I was just waiting for something else to give me the heart to say it. But I was like, okay, if Peyton Manning and the Colts win this game, then I'm finally going to say he surpasses Marino for the best of all time. Then interception comes and they lose.
Peyton is my top.
So this is what I'm going to do. Even though PJ gave me a little more heart, I almost stepped to the plate and said that. I'm still going to go with Dan Marino as my number one, but it's inevitable in my mind that when Peyton Manning finishes up, he's going to be the greatest quarterback that's played the game thus far.
Well, Dev, can I make one quick comment? I want to make one quick comment about PJ. PJ, I will not argue with you with Peyton Manning. Dev, I will argue with Marino, because when I'm doing my research, one thing that happened to me is I have a lot more respect for both Manning and Brady, and I think because they're still playing, a lot of people don't realize just how great these two guys are. But when I did my research, Peyton Manning to me is far and away better than Dan Marino. I don't even think it's close. Peyton Manning and Brady are my 2 and 3 in terms of all time right now. After doing all my research, they're number two. I won't even argue if you say Peyton Manning's number one. I think Peyton Manning is head and shoulders above Dan Marino. That's just my personal opinion.
Guess who I got at number 5, though, Jimmy?
Who?
Who's that?
Guess who I got at number 5 all the time?
Who's that?
Oh, Randall Cunningham.
Old Purple. No, that's not. My list, number 10 is
Randall.
Number 9 is Moon, then Kelly, Brady, Steve Young. Number 5 is Brett Favre. Then I got Elway at 4, Montana at 3, Manning at 2, and Dan Marino at 1.
Yo, Favre wouldn't make my top 25, but that's neither here nor there.
We already know that, yeah. I'm objective.
What I see in Peyton Manning is he's Dan Marino.
Even being objective, Dev, are you basing it on stats, or what are you basing it on?
No, I mean, because you know I'm being objective, because now I'll tell you, I've been telling you all season, you know, Favre needed to hang it up, this and that. Doesn't change my historical thoughts of Brett Favre.
Historically, what are you basing it on?
I'm just like with Dan Marino and Peyton Manning. I'm just basing it on what I've seen with my own eyes. The dudes, they amazed me during their career. Yeah, Brett Favre, he's just like you always point out, he has more interceptions than anybody, just like he has more touchdowns than anybody. Bottom line, from what I've seen in my lifetime, Brett Favre is a top 5 quarterback that I've ever seen.
Now, let me ask you a question. If Desmond Howard doesn't run those kicks back and he doesn't win that one bowl when Reggie White dominated, would that have changed your opinion of him? Would he still be number 5?
He still won a bunch of MVPs. I mean, and I know that's a subjective award. You
that's
know,
garbage, and Barry Finisher sued him for that. He stole those from Barry. I'm not even a Barry fan.
Because I'm not giving it to him because he won a Super Bowl. I think Dan Marino's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, and he's only sniffed the Super Bowl once, so you know. That's not my criteria.
No, I was just asking because I just don't see it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I respect your opinion. I just don't see it.
I've seen dudes do some amazing things on the football field.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
I've seen dudes do some
crazy stuff. Purple Hands got to be in
your
top 10.
I'm gonna stick with Marino for now, but it's inevitable that Peyton Manning is gonna. He's probably already that in my mind. I'm just still being a coward and don't want to look like I'm living in the moment, but I'm gonna go with.
I'm gonna step on out there. I was being cowardly, and I admit it. Peyton's my number one, man. Everything that PJ said speaks volumes to y'all, what I would say.
Just looking at the
defense,
I'm like, dang, Peyton is. We all knew he was good, but my favorite quarterback coming up was Dan Marino, and the closest I see Peyton as like Dan Marino on steroids.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, I mean, not literally, but
that's how I look at it too. Like for me, it's got to be between those two.
I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna go here having played and having watched football. It's almost the things that we look at Peyton doing and say, you know, that's what makes him great. It's almost a shame that he's in the position he is, because on a 53-man roster, he accounts for about 30 human beings.
Right.
It could be fourth and two, and they're going to throw the ball.
We take for granted a lot of what he does, though. What he does is very impressive.
I agree with you. But when you look at
defenses and understanding what he's doing, I mean, that's
yo. But here's the thing. When you actually look at the numbers, Dan Marino has played with superior teams on offense and defense to Peyton Manning. I mean, and that's why I said when I did these numbers, I think Marino is nice. But when you look at the teams he's played with and numbers on the teams, and I'm talking about defensive scoring against, I'm talking about wide receivers and their numbers, Peyton Manning hasn't had the same level of talent as Dan Marino yet. He's found a way to get done. He's found a way to get back and lose. And he's putting up numbers consistently him and Brady, I have more respect for him after doing the research for the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock any quarterback for – the talent they had or the talent they didn't have. I'm just looking at the dude, you know, the quarterback. I'm trying to look just straight up individually. Because if it was like that, then I could knock Joe Montana off my list. And I'm not going to do that because Joe Montana was a bad dude.
He's on my list. He's on everybody's list.
He played with a lot of bad
dudes. He's a bad boy.
yeah, he's still a bad dude.
But I think that when you talk about the best all time, you have to look at who they played with. I just think there's no way around it. I think you have to look at who they had. And that's the reason why, like I said, coming into this, I had Montana as number one. He dropped all the way to number five when I break the numbers down.
In that case, you would be knocking somebody because their organization is great.
I mean, whether it's right or wrong, I think you have to.
You got to. Take us out, Jim.
Anyway, we'd like to thank you once again for joining us in the War Room. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for our Super Bowl Spectacular. We'll talk all things Super Bowl. We'll look ahead to Super Bowl 45, analyze the game, the stories surrounding the game, all the tweets these idiots send out. You don't want to miss it. So until next week, everybody, we will holler.
Holler.
Holler. Get at me.